Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Legacy of the Safe by P.P. Cochran. Narrated by Eric Michael Summerer. Chapter 1. For the Good of the Empire. 4M System, 36 light years from Alona.
"Have we re-established contact yet?" demanded General Laura in a low, grumbling voice for perhaps the 10th time in 10 minutes.
Fresh beads of sweat formed on the communications technician's forehead as she steadfastly refused to meet the general's eyes and, instead, waited for her senior colleague to offer the commander, of all alone in Imperial forces in the 4M system, an explanation as to why he could not speak to Captain Callan. The Captain Callan who, voluntarily, had entered the alien ship hovering serenely in the main holo display and filled the center of the cargo bay converted by General Lura into his command post for this operation.
"This was to be expected, General,"
Chief Scientist Kylor reassured the military man while running a hand across his brown, lightly furred head. Though perhaps not friends, Kylor and Lura had come to understand each other's strengths and weaknesses during their long months together, sequestered in the 4M system. They had overseen the construction of the industrial base, which built the shipyards, which in turn were to build the warships the Empire so desperately needed if they were to reach parity with the humans and their Commonwealth Union of Planets allies. Then, a new and more deadly enemy revealed themselves, coined the Black Ships by the Commonwealth. These ships were crewed by ghosts. At least all believed their race to be dead, at the hands of the others. The Commonwealth had gotten one step ahead of the Empire and identified this new enemy as the Safe, the race, if you believed the geneticists, that had tampered with the DNA of races throughout the galaxy, his Alonan forebearers included, to ensure their progeny became the predominant life form on their native worlds. Laura mumbled something under his breath, which Kylor chose to ignore, and he quashed any sign of his own irritation reaching his outward features. Laura had every right to be worried. Ever since the discovery of the alien vessel, the entire system had been on high alert. 4M was the biggest military secret the Alonan Empire had, and to find this ship, whoever it belonged to, slap-bang in the middle of it, had the general and his bosses on edge. It was all very well Kylor insisting that the vessel was not of Commonwealth, Turok, or any other known race's design, but that only raised the military's fears that it belonged to another potential enemy. The fact that the rock had entombed the vessel for the better part of 1,000 years, according to Kylor's best estimate, did not lessen the general's concern. Hence, 5 of the Empire's most advanced cruisers hovered within weapons range.
"Alert Commodore Valak. He is to lock weapons on the alien ship and—" ordered General Lura.
"I do not recommend that, General," interrupted Kylor.
Lura snapped his head around to face the scientist, eyes narrowed. His rising anger at the civilian contradicting him became obvious. Kylor rushed to explain himself.
"As you see, General—"
Kylor used one hand to indicate the holographic representation of the vessel. As he spoke, more sections of the ship changed from gray to yellow, depicting the vessel's power emissions as detected by an array of Alonan sensors.
"The entry of Captain Callan appears to have tripped some form of fail-safe system aboard the vessel. If, and I hasten to say, it is speculation on my part, if one of those newly activated systems detects Commodore Valak's weapon lock, then the vessel may have an automated defense system which
may perceive Valak's actions as a threat and open fire."
Lura finished Kylor's sentence.
"Very well, Kylor."
Lura turned to face a waiting communications technician.
"Inform Commodore Valak he is to maintain a passive and emphasize passive weapon lock on the alien vessel."
As the technician rushed to obey the general's order, Lura leaned in close to his civilian counterpart, keeping his voice low.
"If that ship so much as twitches, I will have it reduced to atoms."
Kylor simply nodded his head,
not trusting his voice not to betray his own fears as to what might be aboard the alien vessel.
"You're a safe!"
Callan blurted out. The safe, standing before him in his blue, one-piece uniform, seemed startled by Callan's recognition of his species. Taking a step backwards, its hand dropped warily to what Callan was sure was a weapon, holstered on a silver belt encircling the safe's waist. Callan froze. Standing in an airlock, dressed only in a thin thermal inner suit, he really did not want to antagonize the one person who could, with a simple motion, slam the inner door of the airlock closed and open the outer one, sending the unfortunate captain out into the freezing depths of space. The Alonan slowly, in his most non-threatening voice, repeated himself while pointing a finger at his uniformed host.
"Safe!"
The safe cocked its head to one side for a moment, as if listening to an unseen entity, all the time keeping its eyes locked on Callan. Suddenly, a hidden speaker by the airlock door boomed out.
"Save!"
Callan's mind whirled. By the gods, this is happening. I am standing here talking to a real, live safe, and he hasn't killed me yet? That thought brought Callan up short. Now there's a question. Why hasn't he killed me? Everything we know about the black ships says the safe crew are genocidal maniacs. Callan looked again at the safe, stood not more than 2 meters from him, trying frantically to work out what was going on in its head.
Is he as confused as me? We know this rock had buried this ship inside it for a millennium. Could the crew members have no idea what was going on in the wider galaxy? That the Empire is at war with the safe? Well, I'm not going to find out if I can only speak to him one word at a time, am I?
Callan admonished himself.
Now, that I can do something about.
Keeping his hands in plain sight, he bent slowly at the waist, reaching for the left arm of his limp pressure suit lying on the airlock floor.
I'm just going to get my comms pack, Callan said slowly and calmly.
The safe did not appear to object. Well, at least their hand did not move any closer to their weapon, Callan noted encouragingly. Callan's fingers touched the still cold plastic casing of the compact comms pack attached to the sleeve of his suit and deftly released it, holding it out in front of him so the safe could see the blinking lights on its control surface. Moving the comms pack to the front of his face so he could see the control surface, Callan called the main menu. Designed for use in space by an armored gauntlet wearer, the small device required him to use an unexpected amount of pressure, and he ended up pressing on the control surface hard. Eventually, Callan found the submenu he was searching for. The translation protocols. A thought occurred to him. The comms pack used software that the Empire had procured from the Commonwealth. Its database incorporated each individual language encountered by the Commonwealth and hundreds of sub-dialects. What if the designers hadn't included safe in the database? Why would they? Everyone thought they were extinct until the black ship's debacle. He need not have worried. Callan sighed in relief as the software highlighted the word safe on the screen. Tapping the accept icon, the screen blinked on and off 2 times before displaying the word ready. Well, here goes, thought Callan, clearing his throat.
Hello,
he said as clearly as possible, ensuring the comms pack's translator software did not inadvertently mix the greeting with another word like, say, bomb. The comms pack obediently translated the greeting into safe and produced the appropriate sound from its compact speaker. Confounded by the little speaker addressing him in his own language, the safe's jaw dropped open, wide enough to drive a starship into it, and his eyes went wide as plates. Recovering quickly, the safe's lips moved and a chattering noise came out. The translation software paused momentarily. For a second, Callan thought the device was malfunctioning, before he remembered that no one had heard a live safe speak in its native tongue in 1,000 years. Satisfied it had the translation correct, the device activated its external speaker.
Greetings.
Callan let out a breath. Either this safe is the politest killer the galaxy has ever known, or he isn't going to kill me.
My name is Captain Callan of the Alonan Imperial Navy, and I mean you no harm.
Dutifully, the translator conducted its task and produced a series of chattering noises, to which the safe replied.
I am unfamiliar with this Alonan Imperial Navy that you are part of. I am Commander Okal of the progenitor ship Savior. I take your word that you harbor no hostile intent, though—
The safe paused, ensuring that he had Callan's full attention.
Actions speak louder than words. Perhaps you could inform the warships surrounding my vessel to withdraw to twice their current distance.
Commander, said Callan delicately,
perhaps you are, unaware of current events.
A high-pitched laugh escaped Okal, which took him a couple of seconds to contain before he spoke.
Captain Callan, my crew and I have been in suspended animation for longer than your entire civilization's existence. So, forgive my ignorance. I assure you, however, that this ship is fully capable of defending itself against any aggressor.
Despite himself, anger flooded Callan's body.
Aggressor? It is you safe who are the aggressors! Only weeks ago you murdered the entire colony on Balat! You and your black ships!
Callan stepped forward, closing the distance between himself and Okal. The Alonan's anger poured forth unchecked.
You are responsible for waging a war of genocide across the galaxy, wiping entire races from existence!
Callan leaned forward and ignored Okal's instinctive reaction to reach for his weapon at his waist.
You are the aggressor here, Commander Okal.
Callan was now close enough that the spittle from his mouth landed on the safe's face. The airlock descended into silence. Callan fought to control his anger when an awful thought entered his head.
By the gods, I've signed my own death warrant.
But when Callan looked upon the face of Okal, he saw the unmistakable look of horror plastered on the safe commander's face. Okal staggered backwards and bumped into the frame of the airlock, which opened at his touch to reveal two more identically dressed safe standing in the corridor beyond. Their faces reflected the horror of their commander. Okal spoke in a low, barely perceptible voice, which Callan strained to hear.
What has the leader done?
Callan's anger now dissipated. He sensed the despair in the safe's voice, as Okal repeated himself.
What has that madman done?
Callan stared at Okal, unsure of what to say, and when their eyes met, Callan found despair and shame laid bare in Okal's.
If what you say is true, then the...
Okal struggled for the correct word.
The criminal who calls himself the leader, a piece of filth responsible for the destruction of my homeworld, is still alive after all these years.
Before Callan's eyes, Okal's face became hard as stone.
He and his followers must be stopped,
the safe commander stated resolutely.
Your technology is not on a par with ours, and therefore neither is his.
Okal's spine stiffened as he came to a decision.
We will help you with that.
The two safe standing silently in the corridor beyond the airlock flicked their heads to one side in unison, a move that Callan interpreted as agreement with their commander.
I must speak with your superiors, Captain Callan, as soon as possible,
rushed Okal.
We've been asleep for an age with no contact with the outside world. By now the seed worlds should have come to fruition, and if you're... Sorry, what is your species name?
Alonan, Callan said helpfully. Yes, yes. If you, Alonan, have attained this level of technology, then you have discovered the library my crew and I established in this sector before entering hibernation?
Okal paused expectantly. We have discovered no such library, Commander.
Callan replied after a moment's hesitation, wondering how much of the current situation he should tell Okal. The seed worlds that Okal mentioned must be planets like Alona, Earth, Garunda, and Pars, where the safe had altered the DNA of specific genetic lines. And the library must be the underground knowledge repositories, like the Rubicon Cave the humans discovered, which gave them a step up to their technology base. Callan had alluded to a war raging among the stars with his angry outburst moments earlier. Now, though, with a calmer head, perhaps it was prudent to leave further discussions about the war to individuals well above his pay grade. He noticed that Okal watched him inquisitively.
Yes, Commander? If you have not discovered the library in this sector, then why are your warships, according to our sensor readings, equipped with a version of a safe-designed gravity drive?
Forced to think fast, Callan searched for the correct words.
We recovered an abandoned alien ship from the fringes of our system, and luckily our scientists were able to reverse-engineer the technology.
The lie left a bad taste in his mouth, and Callan realized it may be the first of many untruths. Okal fixed him with unblinking eyes, and Callan prayed that the safe commander did not notice the small beads of perspiration forming on his forehead. After what seemed like forever, Okal gave that funny little twitch of the head that the other two safe crew members had done before, and Callan allowed himself to breathe again.
Very enterprising of your engineers, Captain Callan. If they are capable of reverse-engineering an entire starship, then, with our help, I expect them to achieve remarkable things in a truly short space of time.
Indeed! Changing the subject quickly, Callan said,
Talking of my people, my lack of contact with them will be causing alarm, and you said you wanted to speak with my superiors.
Of course, said Okal, as if only now remembering that he had made the request. Speaking aloud to an unseen individual who was, obviously, listening in, Okal said,
Chera, disable the interference field and allow Captain Callan to use his communication device.
Almost immediately, the small translation device burst forth with the urgent voice of the comms tech in General Lura's command post.
Callan! Captain Callan, are you receiving me? Please respond.
Command, this is Callan. I am safe and well, and have made friendly contact with the crew of this ship.
A short series of muffled voices emanated from the speaker before the commanding voice of General Lura emerged from the device.
Captain Callan, what is your situation?
Callan flashed a look at Okal and carefully considered his next words.
Sir, I am standing with Commander Okal, the commander of this ship. He assures me he intends us no harm. In fact, he has made it clear that he wishes to aid us in our conflict with the safe.
There was a distinct pause before General Lura came back onto the radio.
Does he now?
The wariness in the general's voice hung in the air.
Then his species are familiar with the safe?
Callan shared a wry smile with Okal, who, in return, let out a small chattering sound that Callan assumed was a laugh.
Yes, sir, you could say that. It would be wiser if I brief you in person before you meet with Commander Okal. It would help, prevent any misunderstandings.
In the command post, General Lura exchanged a confused look with Chief Scientist Kylor, who responded to the general with the Alonan equivalent of a shrug.
Very well, Captain, said Lura. I await your return before deciding on our next course of action.
The general cut the connection before Callan replied.
Only then did Callan realize he had arranged to leave the ship without Okal's permission.
Just because the safe commander indicated his intention to assist the Alonans, it did not mean that Callan was free to leave. As if sensing Callan's confusion, Okal reached into a pocket and produced a slim, translucent plastic card, etched with a thin, gold-colored circuit, and held it against the side of Callan's comms pack. The circuitry glowed briefly before returning to its original state. Seemingly satisfied, Okal returned the card to his pocket on his uniform's forearm.
"I have taken the liberty, Captain Callan, of retrieving and copying this communication device's translation software. I will upload the program to Chera, my ship's artificial intelligence. It will make our future conversations more succinct."
As if on cue, a gentle beep came from the speaker built into the airlock's inner doorframe.
"Commander,"
Callan's ears heard a soft feminine voice say in perfect Alonan,
"translation upload is completed and assimilated. I am now fluent in Captain Callan's language and others contained in his primitive equipment."
"Primitive?" blurted Callan. Again, the chattering sound of Okal's laughter filled the airlock.
"Please forgive Chera, Captain. She can appear somewhat aloof."
"Commander," Chera interjected, "I detect an Alonan small craft maneuvering to dock with the outer lock."
"Ah," said Okal.
"That'll be for you, Captain."
Okal stepped back through the inner airlock door.
"I have downloaded a communications frequency into your device. Chera will monitor it. When you've appraised your superiors, I will await your answer to our offer.
Meanwhile, I must revive the remainder of my crew and ascertain the status of our embryo banks." The inner door closed, leaving Callan alone in the airlock once more. Hurriedly, he redressed, double-checked the seals of his pressure suit, and turned to the alien control panel covered in safe symbols. He had no idea which sequence depressurized the lock and opened the outer door. He need not have worried. Either a crew member, or more likely Chera, had been surveilling him, for his suit's system reported, "airlock depressurizing." As the airlock reached vacuum, the outer door slid to one side. A shuttle door hovered, only 2 or 3 meters beyond, and the outer door of its personnel lock lay already opened. 2 suited figures hung from magnetic grips on either side of the open lock. Upon seeing him, they activated the maneuvering packs on their backs and glided effortlessly toward him. As they reached Callan, they pirouetted in unison and came to a halt on either side of him. Callan reached out and slipped an arm through the handling hooks on the rear of each maneuvering pack.
"Secure,"
he said over his suit's radio. Small thrusters on each suit carried Callan toward the waiting Alonan vessel. Callan wondered how he would convey the news of his astounding discovery to General Lura. The recording ended for the third time, and the side room off the main control room that General Lura had cleared of all personnel at the insistence of Captain Callan descended into silence. Chief Scientist Kylor, the only other person present besides Callan and the General, struggled to keep the 1,001 questions that he wanted to barrage Callan with in check. Instead, he remained silent, for the look on General Lura's face was one of profound thought. Callan had stood while the communication device he had carried while aboard the safe vessel replayed his entire conversation with Commander Okal. Hearing that the alien vessel was of safe construction and real, live, safe were still aboard it had initially shocked Kylor. That shock had quickly turned to fear as he, like Callan, thought these safe were the same as those who had spread nuclear death over the Balat colony. The revelation that the safe crewing the black ships were, in fact, enemies of these safe and these safe were willing to assist the Empire in its war against the black ships had flung the scientist's mind into a whirlwind of overlapping possibilities. Armed with safe weaponry, the Empire could not only defend itself against the black ships, but it would be a generation ahead of the best the Commonwealth had to offer, and would have a similar edge on anything the Turok had yet revealed on the field of battle. Lura spoke for the first time and ended Kylor's musing.
O'Call states that he has no connection with those of his race who are in control of the black ships? He asked Callan.
Callan peeled his eyes from the rear bulkhead, where he had them fixed, as he stood to attention in front of the seated general and scientist to make eye contact with Laura.
That is what he stated, General.
Laura rubbed his bottom lip absently before asking his next question.
And he went so far as describing the leader of these black ships as a criminal and offered to assist us by providing the Empire with advanced technology to combat this leader?
Correct, General,
answered Callan succinctly, while wishing that Laura would stop asking him questions that he already knew the answer to because he had heard it on the recording twice. A spasm ran through Callan's left leg, and he flexed his toes in order to shake the cramp off. Standing to attention while Laura and Kylor listened intently to the recording, twice, from their comfortable seats, was taking its toll. The captain's involuntary muscle spasm did not go unnoticed by Laura, who waved a hand in the direction of a spare seat.
Sit down, Captain, before you fall down.
Callan gratefully sank into the proffered seat, as a wave of exhaustion swept over him. His body craved sleep, now. The adrenaline which filled his system during his encounter with O'Call had drained from him.
Mala!
Called Laura, and, as if by magic, the general's aide appeared in the open doorway.
Fetch some Gillon.
Callan's ears perked up at the name of the expensive herbal beverage. Served hot and sweet, Gillon's recuperative properties were almost legendary. His body may crave slumber, but a large cup of Gillon would keep him going until the opportunity to fall into his bunk arose.
At once, General,
replied Mala with a curt nod before, once more, vanishing. Laura returned his attention to his interrogation of Callan.
O'Call claims he had no outside contact since he entered this suspended animation?
Callan nodded wearily.
And as such, has no idea of the events that have unfolded in that time?
Pressed Laura.
Correct, General,
answered Callan, his voice beginning to betray his growing impatience at his superior, simply repeating information that he already knew. Kylor sat forward as he caught the tone of the captain's answer, nervously flicking his eyes in the direction of Laura, who either chose to ignore the implication in the tired, younger Alonan's answer, or simply did not care. The general was, after all, the closest thing to the Emperor in this star system. Still, Kylor decided this might be an opportune moment to intervene on Captain Callan's behalf before the junior officer said something which would incur the wrath of Laura.
Perhaps,
began Kylor, only for the door to open and the general's aide, Mala, to enter, bearing a tray with a jug of steaming Gillon and three cups. The room lapsed into silence as Mala placed the tray on a side table and proceeded to pour three portions of the Gillon. Its herbal fragrance subtly infused the room. Mala exited the room after he had served each of the occupants, and the door automatically closed behind him, leaving the three men sequestered once more. General Laura absently sipped at his Gillon, ostensibly oblivious to the presence of the other two, his eyes unfocused as his brain worked on something he had not chosen to share with the others. Callan was simply happy for the pause in the questioning, and gratefully partook of his Gillon, closing his eyes to savor the rich flavor. Kylor, on the other hand, held his cup in both hands without drinking from it. Watching Laura through the steam rising from the hot Gillon, he wondered what was going on inside the military man's head. Kylor knew better than to interrupt, so remained silent and waited for Laura to work through whatever he was considering. Seconds stretched into a minute. The minute morphed into 5 minutes, and the 5 minutes became 10. From Callan came the gentle sound of a snore, and Kylor could not help the smile tugging at his lips, at the sight of the captain slouched in his seat, with the now empty cup precariously perched on the seat's armrest.
Gillon's miraculous recuperating effects are a myth after all, thought Kylor, as he stood as quietly as he could and retrieved the captain's empty cup before the inevitable happened and the cup tumbled and smashed on the deck. Gently, he prized Callan's fingers from around the cup and returned it to the tray.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?